Next, we have Dr. Melvina Wilson, and she's going to talk about perceived parental supports of avoiding sedentary behavior and overweightness among African American children.
Good morning.
She wanted us to do a brief bio on ourselves. I have my bachelor's and master's in public health from the University of Florida, and I am also have my doctorate in public health, health behaviors and health education, behavioral science and health education from Florida A&M University, graduated in December of 2009. I currently work at the Florida Department of Health as a training specialist in the Office of Communications. Next slide. I have no financial things to report or relationships at this time. And this is just a brief overview of what we're going to talk about today. Most of you all know a lot about childhood obesity, which is the basic topic area for my dissertation research, which is presented here. About 31% of 6 to 19 year olds are overweight or at risk, as defined by being at the 85th or 95th percentile for their age and gender. Florida Choice, which is a system that Florida uses to take all type of health behaviors and different epidemiology data, says that for the two counties that I'm going to discuss today, they give obesity rates of 18% and as low as 11%. The objective of the study was to assess if parental support or perceived parental support for avoiding sedentary behavior and overweight status among African American children. Here are some of the learning objectives for today. You guys can read that, so I won't read it to you. Go to the next slide. I wanted to just orient you, because we are in Denver and a lot of people don't know where the study area is. We are just under Alabama and Georgia and Florida, and where you see Tallahassee is the state capital, and so that's one of my study areas. If you go to the next slide. This is a zoom in of Tallahassee, again the state capital. There are about 246,000 people, with the demographic breakdown being 66% white or Caucasian in Leon County, which is the pinkish area to you all. And then right west of that, you'll see Gaston County here. It is a rural county with about 47,000 individuals. It is the only predominantly African-American county in Florida. Florida has 67 counties, and the demographic breakdown here is about 57% African-American. So Gaston County is about 50 miles from Tallahassee, and again in Florida, about one-third of children 10 to 14 are overweight or obese, and Florida ranked 21st in the nation for obesity among youth. Next slide. So some of the barriers of this study were, again, perceived parental support, perceived self-efficacy for avoiding sedentary behavior, time use, what they actually spent their time doing, body mass index, and demographics. And again, perceived is because this questionnaire was given, developed and given to 9 to 13-year-olds. So the operational definition for parental support, again, is one's perception of support received from parents and is specific actions that parents provided by assisting them in improving their behavior. So some of the questions in the questionnaire ask, my parents exercise with me, my parents encourage me to exercise, my parents drive me to sporting activities or different things like that, and they pay for those activities. So we're looking at not just role modeling, which is a big construct in the self-efficacy, but also transportation to those and providing financial support for the children. So the central theme of this research was the social cognitive theory. And the central construct of that theory is self-efficacy. And again, how it was used in the study where we asked the children to tell us if they believed they could do certain things. So the questions were, I am sure I could spend more time being physically active even under certain constraints, such as having a lot of homework, being tired, wanting to play on the computer or other things like that. So even in the face of competing activities, I'm sure I could still be physically active. Again, some of the sedentary behaviors we looked at was screen time, and by that we mean how much time they spent at the computer, how much time they spent on watching TV, how much time they spent on Facebook or other social mediums as well. Again, I wanted to point out that sedentary behavior is a different construct than physical activity. You can be both very physically active as well as highly sedentary in the same amount of time. For example, as a teen, I played basketball about 4 hours a day, but I also watched TV about 4 hours a day. So they kind of can balance each other out. And then here, I want to look at the pre-max principle, which basically states that you want to use sedentary activity as a reward or reinforcer of physical activity. For example, a parent would say, for every hour you spend sedentary, you have to spend that much time being physically active as well. Okay, next slide. So here's the social cognitive theory, which you've probably seen many times. But what I did here was actually wanted to highlight some of the things that we looked at, which was, I think the next slide. behavioral factors here we looked at, again, what were they spending their time doing, how they felt they were being able to be physically active. Environmental factors, we looked at also a scale that was developed for social factors, like there are playgrounds in my area, in my neighborhood, and I feel safe, that they're safe to play in. And then some personal factors, again, self-efficacy and things of that nature. So the methods were, again, a newly devised survey. It was administered in both Leon and Gaston County schools. So we received permission from both the FAMU IRB as well as both school districts. I had a face-to-face meeting with each principal and got permission to come into their schools. It was, I'll go into that next, but we obtained parental consent through an opt-out option. So a couple of days before I went to the school, they were to go home with the permissions, and if they brought it back, that meant that their parents did not want them. And that option actually was suggested to me by one of the principals. And then we obtained assent from the students, and they were told both before and during the survey administration that they could either not answer a question or completely not participate. So the sample size was 721 youths from these two counties. Next slide. So data collection took place during March and April of 2009. I collected the data myself, administered all the surveys, and also took the students' heights and weight in a blind survey. So I would tell them their heights, but I would not tell them their weights. And they were instructed that if they were concerned about their weight, to either talk to their parents or their school nurse. Because it was in a semi-private situation, it was during a particular social studies or English or some class, so we didn't want to disrupt their day as well as not cause any undue stress on them. So again, they were allowed to do the survey if they wanted to or not, and approximately 50% of both school districts participated. This data analysis was done in a phased approach. The first phase was descriptive of univariate data analysis. We also did, in the second phase, instrument reliability. Again, this was a instrument that I developed, so I wanted to look at all of those, make sure it was reliable as well as valid. For validity, I actually had an expert panel review done by several people in the field, Dr. Kohler from UAB, as well as some people who have done youth surveys specific to obesity, and then the Florida Department of Health Epidemiology Bureau looked at it, who administers both the YRBS, which you guys know, the BRFS, as well as they do one for middle schools. And then the third phase, we did look at some bivariate and regression analysis. And so here are those results. We looked at BMI. Again, I collected their heights and weight in a raw data, a raw way, and then put it into the CDC's calculator, which looks at BMI for gender and age for youth. And so again, BMI is done a little differently in children. So I wanted to make sure that I didn't have any issues with that. So for Leon County, we saw at the 85th percentile, which in youth we call that at risk, and then 95th, which we call overweight in children. It tracks very closely to overweight and obese in adults, but again, just for sake of not stigmatizing, you don't want to use those terms in youth. So for males in Leon County, 20% were at risk, 22% were overweight. For females, that jumps up to 27 and 26, respectively. For Gaston County, males that were at risk were 17%, but as you see, there's a huge jump when you get to overweight, and there's almost 33% of them were overweight in Gaston County. Again, Leon is an urban county, Gaston is a more rural African-American county. And so for females, you have 18% and 36%, respectively. Overall, the sample was 21% at risk for being overweight and almost 30% for overweight. This is just a representation of that. The boys are in green, the girls are in orange. Put a little rattler color there. So here are some of the outcomes. If you see on this, your left-hand column is the independent variables, and then we have the 85th percentile in its confidence interval, and then the 95th percentile in its confidence interval. So what we saw was at the 85th percentile, for those students who were at risk for overweight, they had high self-esteem or self-efficacy at 1.4. And then there was some significance for females at the 95th percentile, significance for being enrolled in the lunch program, as well as the county. Again, at both the at-risk and overweight for Gaston County, there was significance. So the regression findings are here, and it basically, let me catch up from here. basically just indicate that participants with an increased self-efficacy were also approximately 1.4 times more likely to be overweight. So again, that's the 1.4 adjusted odds ratio. And then the county was also significant. Again, those who were in Gaston or the rural county were 1.7 times more likely to be overweight. And then finally, it shows that children who were enrolled in the lunch program were 7% less likely to be overweight. So again, it just shows that having a more structured lunch may be beneficial to our students. So that's something good that our schools are doing. At the 85th percentile or the at-risk category, we found that time use at the accrual adjusted rate was significant at 0.77. And then for social factors, again, those where we looked at their safe neighborhoods, those type of questions was significant at the accrual ratio. So for those at the highest weight category, overweight, we also found that self-efficacy was, again, about 1.4%. 1.4 times higher than those who are at normal weight, which may suggest that, I'll get to that in the indications. Again, county was significant, being female was significant, and then being enrolled in the lunch program was also significant at the highest weight category. Next slide. So some conclusions, again, at the 95th percentile, those students who were the most overweight also had, or self-reported, having the highest self-efficacy. And I akin that to a smoker who says, I can quit anytime I want to. So the fact that I can, or I feel I can, doesn't always correlate to action, meaning I do lose weight, or I do stop smoking. Again, being in the county, those who were in the rural county had the highest weights. There's two ways to look at it. Maybe it does have something to do with being in a rural county and having less opportunity for activity. The reason why I'm not so sure about that is most of the people in Gaston County commute to the state capital for work and for other activities. And they're highly transit counties. Gaston County also has a lot of migrant foreign workers. So there may be a lot of different reasons as why county was significant, but definitely something we want to look at in future studies. And then I thought it was, again, very interesting that those who were enrolled in the free and reduced lunch program had reduced weights. But when you look at the county of Gaston, which is highly rural, highly African-American, and has the lowest income levels, I think it was around $23,000 a year, and they still were overweight, so maybe lunch program isn't as protective as we used to think. Some of that has to do with what's offered in lunch programs now. Mm-hmm. They're trying to compete with outside food sources, so instead of seeing what we might have saw at lunch, you're now seeing pizzas and sodas and those kind of things. Mm-hmm. Next slide. So the indication is that the self-efficacy scale that was developed here, what I found in the literature review is a lot of the studies who said they were looking at self-efficacy were actually looking at other constructs like self-esteem or self-perception. And so that these findings may indicate a need to really tailor our surveys towards youth in a different way and make sure that we're actually looking at self-efficacy and not some sub-construct of self-efficacy. There were high correlations between the subscales. The Cronbach alphas were 0.89 or higher. And then that further research is needed. And some of that is looking at the urban rural and some of the constructs and social determinants that are in those two counties. I collected data on game, video game type, so whether they had Nintendo, whether they had a Wii or more active. So we looked at that and also other computer or electronic technology that the student may have. I think that's interesting. That was definitely something that when I was working with the Florida Department of Health epidemiology bureau that they were very interested in. And obviously you'd always like a bigger, wider sample because we were just looking at the panhandle. And like most states, Florida is very regional. As you go down the state, you get different types of cultures and different things that are available. Some of the limitations is that this was a cross study. It was self-reported by youth. That we only looked at a certain section of Florida, so that does make generalizability limited. The survey administration was done under different conditions. That's just not really something you help when you're going into school. You go when they say you can. We were also competing between March and April with FCAT, which is Florida's standardized testing, so I really had to be careful of when I went in and how many questions I asked. So I tried to limit that. Also, I want to make sure that there's comprehension, particularly as we roll out the survey in larger scales, because there were a lot of non-English speaking or English as a second language in Gaston County. So making sure that in the next phase that there is a Spanish equivalent for those students who may need that, and that some of the cognitive ability, I actually found more questions, because they were allowed to ask questions during survey administration, from some of the higher grades than I did from the lower grades. So comprehension may have been a little bit of time there. And then some issues may have been with the timing scale, just because of the way the questions were scaled out. And I guess we'll take questions at the end. Okay. Thank you.